I hope anybody's not stupid enough to write us off.
There was nothing like banging that ball in the net, the explosion of adrenaline that it caused, and to see the excitement on supporters' faces is a tremendous feeling.
Michael Doyle has scored from the halfway line!
To win the Premier League the next season, to win the Champions League the next season, to retain the Champions League the next season. It was an extraordinary story in the late 1970s, early 1980s, and it remains so.
Still Robertson, getting his shot in, and a goal! Robertson!
I'm glad that Notts County got the script from the county of Nottingham that we are supposed to fail spectacularly in the final game this year. Forest kept up their end of the bargain. Now it's you boys' turn.
It has been a hell of a long time since me and Dom Allen were in, I was going to say the same room, in the same Zoom, I think it's fair to say. But we are back, Over the Trent is back, your home of Notts County and Nottingham Forest talk. And Dom, the last time we spoke was following, I believe, a 1-1 draw between Forest and Reading at the City Ground. In that time, we had, Forest lost 2-0 to Norwich in a game you described as men against boys. Brentford won, Nottingham Forest won on the Saturday after, which was a good point for the Reds, considering the quality of opposition. Then wins for Forest away to Cardiff, at home to QPR, and a draw at Ashton Gate against Nigel Pearson's Bristol City. It's not been too bad a time to be a Forest fan, has it, Dom?
No, it's been relatively pleasant. The football we've been playing after the international break has been quite exciting. And what the best way to describe this period is almost like the Nando's Peri Peri chart. The Brentford game was a definite plane-ish. It was quite a tough draw. And then the Norwich game, well, that was the macho peas, in my opinion. The Cardiff, we're getting to the lemon and herb, it's getting there. And the QPR was very hot, very spicy. Obviously, we came down a bit with the Bristol City to about a bang peri-peri, but it's been quite nice to watch. The football Garner and Krivinovic are creating for the players to score off, which is bizarre to say for Forest. We scored 3 goals against QPR. That hasn't happened all season. It was quite nice to watch, and it's made me a bit hopeful for next year.
That QPR game, Dom, I mean, you were really, really positive in group chats and messages that you sent to me, which is extremely rare. What was it about that performance that gave you so much encouragement?
It was so fluid. It's something Forest haven't been since Corona, really. The way the ball moved up the pitch was so nice. And obviously, we're going to see the Garner goal because that is a sensational goal. Is it a cross? Is it a shot? He'll say it's a shot, but I think we all know that was a cross. It was just such nice football, the way the goals were created. It was, I'm not going to say a Brazilian style because that's a massive overstatement, but the way the ball was just pinged around with such accuracy and control was such a far cry from December, where the amount of time the ball went out of play from just players being incapable of passing to feet, it was such a far cry. And yes, these games, as the Americans would call it, are in garbage time. Forest are safe now, it's fair to say, with the amount of points they've got, nearly 50. That's very safe in the Championship. Heading up to mid-table, which is something I didn't expect to see. But these games, we're playing against teams like Cardiff, who, you know, rocky start, and QPR, again, not the greatest team this year. But it is positive results, and that's all we could ask for Forest coming out of that international break.
Just reading Chris Hughton's comments after that QPR game, Dom, he said that it was probably Forrest's best performance under him, particularly in the second half, as regards to creating chances anyway. And he actually said that Forrest could and probably should have scored a few more from that match. You mentioned two players there who we've been quick to praise on this podcast since they arrived in January. James Garner, on loan from Manchester United, and Filip Krivinovic, who continues to impress in that number 10 position for the Reds. Now, we're unsure as to whether they'll be at the City Ground next season. In the case of Garner, it's probably more likely that he'll end up back at Manchester United and maybe go on loan to another club, maybe at the higher end of the Championship, I dare say, or even in the Premier League. Whereas Krivinovic, you do feel could be available for Forest to capture. What is it about those two, Dom? What have they brought to Forest midfield in recent weeks that has been, you know, so positive?
an ability to pass. I think if you looked before when Sabri left and Hughton came in, the very netball-like structure of we have a position, we're not going to move out of this. We have a position in the midfield. We can't really help the strikers. It was very tough to watch. These midfielders are doing what exactly midfielders should do. They're picking up the ball, they're going into challenges, picking back up the ball and moving it forward to the strikers and wingers. And I think the QPR game, where Forest could have easily scored five, was just the pinnacle of their performances. And Krivinovic is someone I think Forest could target. And I don't think Garner's quite ready to be in the Premier League yet. That's not me having a go at him. I think he's a fantastic talent and I think he will eventually play for United and hopefully have a successful career there. But I think we could get him next year. And that's why I'm really excited for the coming year, as I think Hughton is really moulding a team that can get Figueiredo and McKenna. Oh, sorry, not Figueiredo. Worrell and McKenna getting it to Krivinovic. And if they lose the ball, Yates will pick it up. Krivinovic and Garner will get it to Lolly. Mighton, who's been sensational. He's been rapid. And I'm a bit worried, a bit like Michael Owen, that if he gets an injury, he's in trouble. But his end product is getting there. I remember mentioning this in December that he had all the pace, but he didn't quite have that end product. The end product is coming, but again, it needs developing. And I think Forest are building a strong midfield, a strong three that we can rely on as fans to at least pick up the ball and distribute it well, because our distribution in October, November, December was woeful. And just the way Krivinovic holds the ball and looks around, it's so noticeable. And Garner, he'll do anything for the club. It's like he's played 30 years for us or something. He is so young and so energetic. He'll do everything to be noticed on that pitch. And that's very noticeable for fans, because we've seen, let's be honest, some dire football this year. And to see so much energy and so much, let's face it, quite an old head on young shoulders, is so exciting to see. And that's why I think their distribution, their willingness to play football, a nice football. And I think that's why we're playing quite nice football at the moment.
You touched upon there, Dom, two players who occupy positions slightly further back than Joe Garner and Philip Krivinovic, and that's Joe Worrell and Scott McKenna, who've kind of developed a really sturdy centre-back partnership. And one thing, looking through these recent results and assessing Forest's recent performances, it feels like when the Reds want to attack and go forward, they've got the ability to do that now. But for the first time, probably since kind of the peak of Sabri ball, kind of autumn 2019, early 2020, Forest have got a really solid base at the back. I'm looking at the back four against Bristol City, Cyrus Christie, McKenna and Worrell as the two centre-backs, and then Tyler Blackett at left-back, which was the same back four that played against QPR and, you know, was extremely impressive there, and was also the same back four that, yeah, the same back four that took on and clinched a clean sheet away at Cardiff as well. How impressed have you been with how the defence has performed in these last couple of games?
I've been so impressed, and I've got to say Cyrus Christie has come on leaps and bounds from where he was at the start of the season. I think we all compared him to Matty Cash, and that was always going to be a detriment. But Cyrus Christie has got such pace down that right wing. And against Bristol City, he created three or four chances that with a better striker, and I think we need to move on from the three strikers we have at the moment, would have easily scored. And I think McKenna and Worrell, we haven't quite seen them together on a long-term basis due to injury to either McKenna or Worrell. And no Figueiredo, it's no surprise that they're playing a lot better without him. I'm sorry, he's just not been up to standard. And Tyler Blackett has come into that back four where Yuri Ribeiro have played quite a lot. And Blackett had been very good, actually. I think he's been an almost forgotten signing from the summer, coming from Charlton. No one was quite sure what to expect, especially as he didn't play for the first three games. But he's been really good at controlling what's coming through the left. And let's face it, Gaetan Bong was just, oh God, against Brentford and Norwich, he might well have not played. He was just absolutely useless. And Worrell was having to play left back and centre back. And Tyler Blackett has come in there, made that position his own. And I think that can always be said about the whole back line. Apart from Worrell, none of them had played at the City Ground or played for Forest before this season. And they've all looked pretty concreted in their positions now. And a summer with Hughton, it could be quite positive, because when Forest played peak Sabri, it was always a strong back line with no injuries, Cash, Worrell, Peak Figueiredo and Yuri Ribeiro. And we were able to counterattack because we had that strong base, we had trust. And now we're beginning to have that trust in our back line. And I think that's really positive for that previously mentioned midfield to go forward because they feel like they have the trust again.
There's a platform there, isn't there? And that's something, like you said, you know, you've spoken at great length about it on this podcast, Dom, that a potential reason as to why Forest have been so dysfunctional going forward is they don't have the trust trust for those behind them to keep a clean sheet. And that's something that you see throughout football, struggling teams. It's usually because of a lack of confidence, not only in, you know, individual ability, but in the collective effort. But at present, it does seem like everyone in a red shirt is singing from the same hymn sheet. And there is that belief again that everyone is doing their jobs correctly and it can lead somewhere positive. 15th at present then. 10 points clear of Rotherham in 22nd place, who still have three games in hand. I think Rotherham will probably have three games in hand when it even comes to the end of the season. They seem to just have games in hand all the time at the Poole side. Obviously, it's probably going to be a bridge too far to get into the top 12 this season. But you must just have your attention on, you know, the new season now, Dom, and based on these recent performances and results, you must feel rather encouraged by what could come in the summer.
Yeah, I think I am quite encouraged with, like you said, the results are getting better. And what I'm quite excited about is bringing in some new players. I know people are going to say we've got loads of players, but I think Hughton will have a mass clear out. It's getting it all out of our system, creating some wage space. And since I think we didn't talk about this, but with the finances of the club, Football Index going out of business, not having a shirt sponsor, it became a bit of a mess. And I think the club is a bit in trouble with money, not to the extent, say, Sheffield Wednesday or Derby are, but I want to get a strong financial base for Forest, and getting rid of players will achieve that with the wages they're on and also the transfer fees coming in. I think we've got something like 40 players and we only used 24. Let's reduce the squad numbers seriously down and just work from there, because Hughton wants to build a mould of a team, and that's what he's done for Brighton and Newcastle. He's come in, he's built a squad that he trusts and then taken them up to the next level. And I think he can do that, especially with, just say if he gets rid of 10 players this summer and brings in three or four, he can have a squad he can control. Because at the moment, it's like trying to, I don't know, herd cats, I can imagine, on the training pitch. But have you never heard that phrase, herding cats?
No, just go with it, Dom. Just go with it.
Maybe it's a Bristol phrase.
Right.
But yeah, it must be so difficult to sort of, the morale of the place must be awful. Because if you're part of the reserve squad, you're definitely not getting a game. I think we've got three or four left backs that definitely not played. I just want to have a reduced squad. Aston Villa managed to win the Champions League with 14 men and we've got 44 and we're stuck in 15th of the Championship. Let's just bring it back to simplicity.
You mentioned earlier, Dom, on the subject of kind of moving a few players on, that you think it may be time for Forest to change their options from an attacking sense and move on from the three centre-forward options that Chris Hughton currently has available to him. First and foremost, why is that? And secondly, I'm not going to ask you to name which kind of striker you want to bring in, because that is difficult. And, you know, we don't know, you touched upon it there, the financial difficulties behind the scenes. You don't know what kind of striker Forest will be able to bring in. But what profile of player do you want to see Forest recruit for that number nine shirt? What kind of attributes do you think are needed for someone to spearhead this Chris Hughton side effectively?
It's a very big question. I'm not too sure. I'd like someone maybe a bit like Ivan Toney, but that's never going to happen. No one's going to have the same sort of rip-roaring success he's had in the Championship coming straight up from League One. I think the Peterborough sort of system always produces good strikers, and George Clark Harris was so good for Bristol Rovers, who my mates are fans of, and they were always going on about how good he is. So maybe bringing him up and developing him. Brennan Johnson for Lincoln City, a lad on loan. He's been quite good. I think the Forest strikers out on loan at the moment wouldn't cut it. I think we've got to get rid of I think Lyle Taylor or Glenn Murray. I think Graban is a very good player at the moment. He's just struggling through form, but he just need. I think if we keep him, it'll be worth the wait. But Lyle Taylor hasn't cut it. Glenn Murray hasn't cut it. And what's most worrying is we've spent money on both these players, and our top striker has scored 4 goals. That just isn't good enough for Forest, and that's not good enough to be the backup striker at somewhere like Brentford, Norwich, any team challenging to go back up. And I don't know who we'll get. I think maybe I can't think of anyone specifically, but they've got to be aware of the challenges it can be for Forest, because it's a lot of pressure. We've had so many great strikers down the years, and I think sometimes, especially with Forest, we get caught in the past and the fans have expectations going back to Stan Collymore and those great European nights, and we're not that anymore. We just need someone maybe who's playing very well in League One, who we can then develop over the years. I think there might be someone in, I can't remember his name, someone in the academy. And if we had Patrick Bamford in the academy, if we can have a Patrick Bamford, you know, that'd be amazing for us, but we're not there yet. And I'm not too sure who we can sign. And I think we should keep with Graban, but got to look at moving on at least Lyle Taylor, because I think Glenn Murray's past it, to be honest.
Lyle Taylor, Dom, I'm going to press you on this, because when he was brought in into the football club, a lot of Forest fans, prior to you joining the podcast, a lot of Forest fans that I spoke to were really encouraged by his signing. We spoke to the brilliant second tier podcast in the summer. If you haven't checked them out yet, listeners of Over the Trend, then please do. They do some fantastic championship analysis over on that podcast. But they were really, really positive about the signing of Taylor. And he has shown glimpses of quality in a red shirt, in particular in that victory against Wycombe Wanderers at the City Ground not that long ago. Why hasn't he cut it, though, over the course of the season, do you think, Dom? And why are you suggesting that it might be best for both parties if Taylor was to move on? Why hasn't it worked?
I genuinely don't know. I was so excited when Taylor came in. I thought, this is perfect. We relied too much on Graban last year. We couldn't get that extra goal that would have put us into at least the playoffs. And Taylor just hasn't performed. Taylor was so good at Charlton. And maybe this is an odd theory, but some players haven't dealt well with no fans in. And maybe it's just that he needs fans in to get himself pumped up, to get himself, you know, moving about. And Stuart Broad talks about it. When he's in a moment, he can feel his legs pumping when he runs into goal. And maybe that's the sort of thing Lyle Taylor plays on. He needs that sort of going down to the valley at Charlton, having fans on your back. It's a pressurised situation. And I think a lot of players have gone very well in not having any fans, but also there's been a detriment to those players who need fans, who need that atmosphere. And I think maybe that could be a reason. But also, I just don't think when Lyle Taylor was striker number one at Forest, the service wasn't good enough. It really wasn't good enough. And I think that he's been almost, maybe I'm sort of revising my own opinions here, but he didn't have the service to warrant a full trial for Forest, maybe. But I just don't think he's got what it takes to be what we want to be as a top level championship side pushing for promotion. I don't think he's got what it takes to be that number one striker, because his highest mark was Charlton, I believe, before this, and they got relegated. So we're relying on a relegated striker to be our number one as we push towards the Premier League. It doesn't seem to add up there. I think maybe a backup or even a backup to Graban, but I'm just not too sure he is what we expected him to be. He hasn't developed into the championship standard we wanted him to be when we first signed him.
So let's say Forest bring in a Ivan Toney type striker in the summer, are able to secure extensions to the loan deals for the two in midfield that we've spoken about earlier in the podcast. Are there any other areas, Dom, of that starting 11 stroke squad you would look to improve, other than obviously getting rid of the dead wood? And if so, stroke if not, where can it go next season? I don't want to, you know, push you into saying, oh, it's a, you know, certainty for the top six, or, you know, it's going to walk the league like Norwich City are doing at the minute. But is it more likely with, you know, that addition and those changes to the squad and, you know, being able to retain those two midfielders that Forest will be looking upwards rather than downwards again?
Yeah. And I sort of had a sort of malaise with Forest from about 2013 to 2016. And since then, since the day we stayed up by the skin of our teeth, there's been a steady progression. And I think stayed up by the skin of our teeth, then 17th, then 8th, then 7th. And then this year is the first year where we've gone back down again. I think we got to go back to the building. And I don't think we're going to be challenging for first or second. We might be challenging for 6th, but next year is a building year. We're going to have fans back in the stadium. We're going to have money, a little bit of money, but not too much. I think the Forest financial books came out over Easter, and they weren't great. It's fair to say they weren't awful, but they weren't great. So we're not going to have masses of money to spend. So we just got to slowly get back on that horse and start riding again, because we're so far away from where we want to be. We want to be, you know, challenging for Europe. That's not so far away. I think if I was to get anyone in, I'd like another left back. As much as I rate Tyler Blackett, I just want another pacey left back that can work with Cyrus Christie to really use the flanks. But I don't think Yuri Ribeiro is cutting it anymore. That's sad to say, because I used to think he was the best left back in the Championship, but I think he's peaked, unfortunately, for Forest. I want someone who can utilise the left wing a bit more. I think Amiobi, is he coming to the end of his Forest career? I think he might be. And I'm very worried for Lolly State. I think he could be moved on by Houghton, which is such a sad sad thing, because he's been such a good servant to the club. I'd want some backup. I don't want Knockup. I know that sounds a bit petulant, but I just don't like him. I don't like the way he dives. I don't like the way he talks to referees. I think Forest are better than that. And listening to the way Paul Hart treated players like Jermaine Genus, the way Brian Clough taught, I don't want to sound like a West Ham fan here, but that's not the Forest way. Yeah. I really don't want to sound like a West Ham fan who goes, oh, we play the West Ham way. I don't want to say that, but Forest, we don't play the way Knockhart plays, and Knockhart has been quite, just not what I want a Forest player to be, not tracking back against Watford and just arguing and diving. I don't want him to stay. I know he's part of Houghton's magic rock, but I just don't think he'll cut it anymore. So if we can get another creative midfielder, I'm not sure who that'd be. Maybe get Kieran Dowell back. I know that he's gone to Derby and, you know, Sheffield United, two clubs we hate, but I do rate Kieran Dowell. As an Everton fan, you all know how good he is. And I just want a creative midfielder and probably another left back. And I'd feel comfortable to get 8th and then maybe push for playoffs that year or the year after.
Final question to you, Dom. You've said that you have, you know, much confidence in Forest back four. You have pretty, you know, decent confidence in Forest midfield. You've got question marks over the attack, but the likes of Alex Mighton, you know, gives you, you know, confidence in that area of the pitch. Are you fully behind Chris Houghton now as the manager? Do you think that there could be anyone else? You know, anyone else could do a better job than him at this moment in time, or are you fully on board with Operation Chris Houghton and back the man to take Forest forward?
Yeah, it's not the exciting love affair we had with Sabri, where football was so exciting to watch. It's a very steady relationship we got with Houghton. It's not what I'd like Forest to go up playing. It's not the most exciting football. It's getting there, don't get me wrong, but when I'd say I am now on Project Houghton. I trust him. I remember my first podcast, I said, I don't see anyone being able to get Forest out of the Championship. And I'm still not too sure he'll do it, but I think he will improve us to an extent where we're at least making the playoffs like we didn't do under Sabri, despite, you know, pretty much getting there. We need to get to the playoffs. It'll probably be 10 years since we lost to Swansea in the playoffs by the next time we have a playoff spot. That's ridiculous for a club of our size, for a club with the amount of financial backing that's gone into the club. It needs to start changing. I think Houghton is the man to sort us out.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Well, let's hope Chris Houghton can deliver that next season. Still a fair few games to go in this campaign, so plenty to play for Forest in terms of pride and, you know, players potentially, you know, fighting for their futures at the City Ground. But yes, next season is certainly going to be the one which will be of real interest to Forest fans. Can they build upon this solid end to the season, or will Forest do a Forest? And and all those hopes and dreams of Dom Allen will go up in smoke yet again. Let's hope it is the former and not the latter. Dom, pleasure to see you as always, mate. Good to be back doing the Over the Trent podcast. We have been away for a while. I take full responsibility for that. Coursework, a much needed Easter holiday, and other bits and bobs have kind of got in the way at present. But yes, we will make sure that Over the Trent returns from a weekly basis, starting from next week. Exciting news as well from a Euro and Sport perspective. We are back in the studios next week, so you will be able to hear the dulcet tones of Mr. Allen live on University Radio Nottingham. So that is something to look forward to, live on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays. More details about that in podcasts to come. But yes, that's something certainly to look forward to in the next 7 days. Here's hoping that the Reds can keep marching forward. Notts County, under a new manager as well, are enjoying a relatively strong start. If you haven't listened to our interview last week with Colin Sisson of Left Lion, talking about the departure of Neil Ardley and the arrival of Ian Birchnell, then please do check that out. That's obviously on our Spotify and Mixcloud pages. If you've been really missing Over the Trent content over the last fortnight or so, there are some absolutely brilliant interviews in the archives, which you can find on our Mixcloud page, including Dom's chat with Keith Harris, and the brilliant author of the Talking Reds Forest book, and also interviews with the likes of Clive Tilsley and Mr. Les Brad, Notts County's all-time leading goal scorer. So please do check them out if you have really been missing your Over the Tent content, which I'm sure you have. We will see you again next week, hopefully talking about wins for both of the city's football clubs. But in the meantime, stay safe, stay well, enjoy the pub, and keep it URN.